today with a question. How many of you here today have ever experienced some sort or form of pain in your life? You knew you had pain, you knew there was something wrong, you knew there was something going on, but yet you couldn't pinpoint it. You didn't know where it was coming from or what exactly was going on. You ever experienced that? Maybe the pain was physical, maybe it was spiritual, maybe it was emotional. But even though you knew you were experiencing pain, something prevented you from pinpointing it and knowing for sure exactly what was going on. About 16 years ago, I was just getting ready to go on a mission trip. Many of you have heard me talk before about a mission organization called Sports and Cultural Exchange International. They would go primarily to Latin American countries, and they would use sports as kind of a spiritual pry bar to get into those areas. And then once they got in, they would use those athletic teams and those primarily here from America, and we'd go into these Latin American countries, and the sports would open the door in amazing ways to the gospel. Well, there was one particular year about 16 years ago, they will use everything from volleyball to soccer to basketball to fast pitch softball, and this one particular trip was a fast pitch softball trip. And so there was a team from made up of men from all over the country, and we got together and we were getting ready to go to Venezuela. And about a week before we were supposed to go, I severely hurt my back. And it was so bad I could barely walk, and I thought, you know, God, I can go on this trip and I can spread the gospel in whatever way you would open the door for me to do it, but I don't see any way possible that I'm going to be able to play on this fast pitch team with my back feeling the way that it is. And so my wife had a beauty salon at the time, and so I walked into the salon, and she was doing the hair of one of her clients, and I was talking about my back. The lady saw me kind of tilted over sideways. I wasn't able to stand up straight. And Robbie began to explain to her about my back issues, and she said, well, there's somebody that I know about that you need to go see. And he has really done some things with my neck or my back, and I think her husband had neck issues. And anyway, this guy is a form of a chiropractor / muscle therapist, but he's not really either one. And she said, but I'm telling you, you need to go see this guy. And I thought, you know, what can it hurt? I've only got less than a week now before I have to go. So I'm going to check this guy out. So I went, she gave me the address. I actually knew the man, and I knew this guy from previous history was a little bit out there. I mean, he was probably in his 70s at the time, and he would get into these seasons of life, and some people would call it a midlife crisis, but this guy was up in his 70s, and he'd been going through these multiple forms of crises for as long as I had known him. He's picked up hang gliding, and I think at one point he decided he was going to rollerblade across the whole nation. And I think he probably got 3/4 of the way across. He's just a very unique guy. So anyway, I thought, what can it hurt? So I go to this guy's office, and when I walked into his office, it was like I stepped into China. The art on the wall, the furniture, the music, the strange, I don't know if it's a guitar or what kind of instrument it was, but it literally was like I had stepped into China. And I began to second guess myself. And so I sat down, and then after I sat down, I looked up on the wall, and it said $75 per visit must be paid up front. And I was really starting to second guess myself. I'm thinking, okay, I'm getting ready to give this guy $75, and I really don't know how this is going to go. So I went back into the exam room, and he told me to lay down on the table. And so I laid down on the table, and I'm looking up at the ceiling thinking, God, I hope you're in this. And the Chinese music is playing. And so he walks in, and he said, so you got back issues? I said, yeah. And he said, well, let's get you checked out. So again, I'm laying down on my back, and if you can imagine laying on the stretcher, and I'm looking straight up the ceiling, he walks up to the front of the bed, puts the top of my head right into his belly button, right? And he's looking down straight into my face, and I'm looking straight up into his nostrils. Okay, so he's looking down like this. And he sticks his fingers in my ears, and he goes, yep, you're out of alignment. And I'm thinking, man. And he looked at me, and I guess the look on my face, I gave myself away, and he said, "You think I'm a quack, don't you?" And I said, "Well, the thought did cross my mind." And he continued to check me out, continued to go through this process, and I'm thinking, I cannot believe I have just wasted $75 plus probably an hour of my time. So he walks from the top of the bed and goes down to the bottom of the bed, and he grabs my feet. And he holds my feet together, and he goes, "Hmm." And I'm just, everything in me is wanting to get up off the bed, get my shoes on, and walk out of the office. So he looks at me and he says, "What really is going on?" I said, "My back hurts." He goes, "Hmm." So then he grabs my arms, and he starts squeezing my biceps, and then he rolls me over on my stomach, and he starts manipulating my side. And I'm thinking, what in the world? My back hurts. He's checking everything but my back. And I finally looked at him, and I said, "Sir, can I ask you a question?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "What are you doing?" I said, "My arm is fine. My feet are fine. My ears are fine. Everything's fine, but my back is the problem." And he said, "Let me explain something to you." I said, "That would be good." He said, "I did all of my study in China." I said, "Well, I picked up on that." He said, "What I'm doing right now is what the Chinese call surrounding the dragon." I said, "Okay, well, what does that mean?" He said, "If you have pain in your back is not the problem." I said, "It sure feels like the problem." He said, "Your back is not the problem." He said, "There is something that's going on that's deeper, and it's connected, but it's different from the issue that you have with your back." He said, "So what I want you to do is," he said, "I want you to pull," I was laying flat on my back, he said, "I want you to pull your feet up as close to your behind as you possibly can." And he said, "Just understand that I'm getting to the issue." And again, he covered every aspect of my body, never touched my lower spine, never touched anything where I was feeling pain. And so I pulled my feet up close to my behind as I'm laying on the back, and he put his elbow inside of one knee, and he put his hand inside the other knee, and he said, and this was after the most excruciating body manipulation I've ever been through in my life. I mean, he twisted my arms, he twisted my legs, he twisted my torso, he manipulated me. I'm thinking, this guy is going to kill me before I get out of here. And so after he had done all that, he put his elbow inside of one knee, and he put his hand inside of the other knee, and he said, "Now I want you to push together with your knees as hard as you possibly can." And after about 2 seconds of doing that, it sounded like somebody fired a shotgun in that room. Something exploded in what I thought was my back, but it wasn't. I said, "What was that?" He said, "Do you notice when I grabbed your feet and put them together, and when I put my fingers in your ears?" I said, "Yeah, I noticed." He said, "Your left earlobe was almost 3/4 of an inch lower than your right earlobe. Your left ankle bone was more than 3/4 of an inch lower than your right ankle bone." And he said, "When I realized that your left ankle bone was lower, your left earlobe was lower," he said, "I knew right away that it wasn't your back, it's your pelvis." And he said, "When you heard that loud pop, it was your pelvis slipping back into the place that God intended for it to be." He said, "Get up and try to walk." I had to relearn how to walk. I was so accustomed to compensating and twisting my body and trying to figure out what was going on that was causing the pain that I caused all kinds of other issues in order to stop the pain. Before I go deep into what the main theme of this message is, we need to understand that we all have a dragon in our life that we're fighting. Who the dragon is goes by the name of Satan. What the dragon is are the tools that he will use to make us believe a lie. And very often for most of us, pain is the lie that we will believe to keep us from addressing the root cause of the pain. Pain will cause us to dive in headfirst and begin treating symptoms that will make us think the pain is really not that big of a deal. The pain is something I can live with. The pain is something that I can fight through it. I can muddle through it, and eventually I think I'll be okay. The dragon inflicts pain, causes confusion, separates friendships, and on and on and on it goes. The dragon, even in Scripture, and particularly in Scripture, is always synonymous with the enemy. And every dragon has a name. What did the dragon, and by the way, that picture on the bulletin is, for those of you that are movie fans, it's from what movie? The Hobbit. That's the dragon from The Hobbit. And he represented two primary things in that movie. Can you guys think of what those two primary things are? Greed and fear. Greed and fear. He was sitting in this mountain controlling this massive amount of wealth, and he was using fear to keep people away from his greed. The dragon in your life may or may not be one of those things. It might be something completely different. I can almost guarantee you that fear is somewhere very, very close by, no matter what the other dragon might be. That muscle slash skeletal therapist looked at me and said, if you've got pain in your life, you've got a dragon in your life. The problem is that most of us tend to focus on where the pain is instead of where the pain is coming from. And if you only focus on where the pain is, you're going to settle into this place of deception where you'll want to treat the symptom. Treat the symptom. Treat the symptom. And the reality is we're never treating the symptom. We're just masking what is really a deeper problem. Every single one of us is facing, has faced, or soon will face one of life's many dragons. And I'm not just talking about physical dragons. I'm talking about emotional, relational, financial, and the most dangerous dragon of all, spiritual. Because if the spiritual dragons that the enemy is sending to attack us, and he does, he's roaming the earth seeking whom he may destroy. And if we get pulled away from the reality of what's going on around us, we'll fail to realize that the most dangerous dragon of all is a spiritual dragon, and it's a dragon that will bring deception and all different forms of attacks to us to make us believe something that will keep us from understanding the full depth of God's love, His goodness, His power, and His intense compassion for us. We all experience pain, but more often than not, the pain is not really the problem. The real danger with pain is that when it gets really bad, we'll give up in our pursuit of discovering the cause of it. When pain gets really, really bad, we just come into this place where we become paralyzed emotionally, mentally, spiritually, in so many different ways. And why? We just want the pain to go away. We want the pain to go away. Has anyone noticed the ads that fill up magazines and commercials on TV? The allergy medication ads are the ones that get me. They'll tell you, causes high blood pressure, stroke, heart failure, cancer, nausea, vomiting, birth defects. But if you take this pill, you'll be able to breathe clearly. Seriously. And it just boggles my mind. I mean, it's just radio, TV, magazines, they're loaded with these ads. These things will really help your hangnail, but it could kill you. And that's what we do. The problem with our society is that we really don't want to deal with what is really causing our problems. We are more than satisfied to treat the symptoms. And if my perceived pain goes away, I'm okay with living with a deeper problem. We mask it. We mask what's going on, and we try to just muddle through. Jesus wants to give us victory. He wants to absolutely set us free. He wants us to know that He is more than powerful enough to handle any single issue that we've got going on in our lives. There's a book in the Old Testament that I think most of us have heard of, and I would encourage all of us to spend some time reading through it maybe again. And it's all about the cause and effect of human suffering. It's about Job. Job was the poster child of pain and suffering. But just like you and I, Job didn't seem to have much clarity on who was behind the suffering in his life. He didn't understand who and where the source of his pain was coming from. In Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, "In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless. He was blameless and upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and he had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. During Job's time, the size of a man's flocks and herds was viewed by everyone in that region as a sign of righteousness. If this man is this blessed, surely God is on his side." That is the mindset that took place in that culture. But without warning, Job's life began to fall apart. Have you ever been in a situation where your life was good, everything was moving along perfectly, and then at the snap of a finger, something happened and everything around you began to unravel? Have you ever experienced that? Did you question yourself and say, "What have I done wrong? I've missed something. I've got sin in my life. I'm dealing with stuff that just... Clearly, I've made a bad mistake somewhere because God is judging me." Have you ever asked yourself that question? "Lord, have I done something? Are you judging me?" Have you ever asked yourself that question? You know what? I believe maybe is more dangerous than that when we look at somebody else going through a rough time and we assume that God is judging them. That's what happened with Job and his wonderfully marvelous, kind, and compassionate friends. His life began to fall apart, and he didn't know what was going on. Let's look at Job verses 6 through 11. "One day the angel came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, 'Where have you come from?' And Satan answered the Lord, 'From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? There was no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing?' Satan replied. 'Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hand so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.'" So let's take a look at 2 rhetorical questions God asked Satan. The first question was, "Where have you come from?" And then, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Where have you come from? This was for Satan's benefit. God knew where Satan came from. Okay, he put him there to begin with. "Where have you come from? And have you considered my man Job?" Now I'm reading, I remember I read this the first time and the lights began to come on for me. I'm thinking, man, what a setup. It's like Job's got it going on. Everything's happening. He's wealthy. he's just blessed. And God says to Satan, hey, Satan, you consider my man Job? Check him out. He's the finest man on earth. Verse 9 through 11. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Now Satan said, God, you do it. But in verse 12, the Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your power. God said, okay, but he said very well then to the whole theme of Satan being attacked. But very often we fail to realize God wasn't the one doing it. He allowed it, but Satan was the one going after him. Let's keep reading. Very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. So Satan goes out from the presence of the Lord. Is there anyone here who wonders where he immediately went? I guarantee you he went right to Job's front door. And he started going after him. Didn't touch his body because God didn't give him permission to do it. But he started going after him. So God told Satan what the limits were in his attacks of Job. And he said that he couldn't go beyond those limits. You can do all this other stuff, but you cannot touch his body. Satan ends up going back to God and said, look, he's proven himself. He's a worthy adversary. But let me go after him physically, and I'm sure that he will curse you then. And then God said, okay, you can go after his body, but you can't kill him. God. Just this story all by itself completely blows up the message that many preachers preach and the gospel that is being permeated in many churches around the world. God would never do that. God would never allow that. God would never be a part of something that would cause hurt or pain in any way to his people. But he does allow it. He does allow hurt and pain. And sometimes he causes the pain of discipline. Sometimes, anybody here old enough to remember the woodshed experience with your dad? I'm old enough to remember the woodshed experience with my dad. My dad loved me. Loves me to this day. But there was pain associated with things in my life. This is a very unique story because God allowed pain. He didn't cause it. He allowed pain in the midst of Job's righteousness. It's like, this is crazy. God, really, what's going on here? He was in the midst of intense pain, physical pain, emotional pain, financial pain, spiritual pain. He was beginning to question, God, what is going on here? Satan attacked him so mercilessly that he took his peace of mind, he took his health, he took his wealth, he took his family, he took his intimacy with God. There was a time of separation. Job was like, God, where are you? It finally came down to a place that Job literally went to the middle of the local city dump and started scraping boils with broken pottery. Try to explain that. What's that about? And then we see the depth of Job's love. Then we begin to see the depth of his trust, his absolute radical commitment to Christ, to God. Job 13:15 says, in the midst of this, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Wow. Job thought God was attacking him. And these wonderful friends come alongside. Surely there's sin in your life, Job. surely there's really crummy things that are going on here. And you're just not telling us. There's stuff that's going on here. But God viewed him as a righteous man. He had reached the point of near hopelessness, but his response to all of it was, even if God slays me, I will continue to place the entirety of my hope in him. So you're saying, preacher, how does this all apply to me? Let's go back to the main theme of this message, surrounding the dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan. What is the dragon in this case with Job? Pain. Pain was the dragon. So you've got who? Satan. You've got the tool that he uses, which is the what? Which is the pain, to begin going after our bodies. Job knew he was in pain, but he didn't recognize the source. And because he didn't recognize the source, he was unsure of how to combat it. We now have something at our disposal that Job didn't have. We can open up the Word of God. He had prayer, and we've got prayer, and we've got the Word of God, and we can begin to combat these lies of the enemy to understand how to get victory over these attacks that he tries to bring to us. God often uses pain to draw us closer to him. Is there anyone here who has ever experienced a rough time spiritually? You've been in a rough season in your life, and when you stepped into this place of total, absolute, utter pain, you began to call out on God. Anybody? Anyone? Me. I tell you what, my hand is up. I was so confused, I was so discouraged, I was so frustrated, in pain physically with my back. My wife remembers the time, 2 weeks, I could not move. I was beginning to wonder, I never said this to my wife, but I was beginning to wonder if I was ever going to be able to walk again. I couldn't move for 2 solid weeks. And I began to cry out to God, Lord, what is going on? What is happening? What is it that you're wanting me to see? And he began to minister to me, into my spirit, in ways that I can't even begin to replay back to you. I began to feel his closeness, and he began to reveal to me the fact that I was so blown away by God's blessings in my life. And I was talking about God's blessings to other people. I was pastoring at the time, and I was just blown away by his goodness, and I was telling everybody about his goodness, but in the midst of it, my time with him began to decrease. The busyness of ministry had me going out and doing all these different things, and I was spending less and less and less and less time with the Lord. And he began to make very, very clear to me, Doug, I wanted time with you. And all of a sudden, that pain that I was feeling began to make so much more sense to me. And in my spirit, I heard him speak to me. He said, get up. And I can't tell you how scary those words were, because when he said that to my spirit, when he communicated that to me, my back hurt so bad and I started to roll over, and it felt like somebody had an ice pick in my back and was just twisting it around. I was like, God. And I just knew in my spirit he was saying again, get up. I can't do this. Get up. And I rolled over. It was a Sunday morning. My wife and kids were in church. I couldn't move, so I had a guest speaker that Sunday. I couldn't move, and I rolled over, and I thought I was just going to collapse, and I grabbed a hold of the arm of the couch. I was laying on the floor on a pad because the hard floor helped alleviate some of the pain, and so I grabbed the arm of the couch, and I pulled myself up, and it was just, I can't even begin to convey to you how hard this was, how painful it was, and I got up on my feet. And it had been weeks. I hadn't moved my muscles. I was so weak. I was wobbling back and forth. And I just knew he was saying, praise me, praise me. And I began to lift my hands and just weep and worship and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And after about 2 minutes of just worshiping the Lord, every ounce of that pain was gone. But I had to be willing to say, Lord, if this is you, if you choose to slay me, I am going to trust you. That is the radical kind of faith that God is looking for from his people. Being a follower of Christ is hard sometimes. It's hard. If you're in a relationship that's falling apart, I can almost guarantee you that you have said to yourself, my relationship is going to be better if this would happen. If the man would do this, or if she would do this, my relationship would be better. If he would change, if she would change, everything would be fine. All the while, the pain is bubbling up from somewhere deep inside. It's not going away. Can I tell you that the pain will never go away as long as we remain focused simply on addressing the symptoms in our life? So here's Job. He begins to believe the lie that God's attacking him. Satan then brings in Job's friends, and the false accusations begin to be leveled against him. These ongoing attacks, and who does Job think is responsible? God. He thinks God's doing it. I went to Webster's Dictionary as I was studying for this message, and I looked up the word prescription. And I saw something there that blew my mind. And listen to this definition. A physician's written instruction. Does it bring anything to mind? A prescription. Does it bring anything to mind? A physician's written instruction. Great physician's written instruction. The prescription. The prescription for every area of pain in your life. You say, wait a minute, I'm still in pain. Listen, this is not a topic on, is it God's will to always heal? Is it not? He is the great physician. Listen, I would be lying if I stood up here and I told you I understand how God moves and what he does and why he does it. He's sovereign. And when he doesn't heal somebody that we're believing and we've got faith, God, you're going to heal. What's the option that we have other than to trust a loving and sovereign God? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. We have the prescription to deal with the pain that we're experiencing in life. It's the great physician's written instruction to us. In Proverbs 4:20 through 22, it says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Wow, what an awesome passage of Scripture. Amen? The King James Version says it this way, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. God's words are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. That's what it says. So, another level. And don't answer this out loud. I want you to hear this question. I want you to think about it. Is the reality of God's word enough? Is the reality of the existence of God's word enough to deal with the pain in your life? What do you think about that? Is the reality of the existence of God's word enough to deal with the pain in your life? The answer to that question is no. I can put this thing on a shelf, dust it off every so often. Say, oh, that's a pretty Bible. But if I don't take it off and I don't get into it and read it and believe it and apply it to my life, it is God's inspired word, but it's just a book if we don't study it. It's just another book with a cover if we don't apply the principles of its that are contained within it to our lives. Now don't leave here today and say, Doug said God's word is not enough. What he said was, if we don't read it, and if we don't study it, and if we don't apply the truth of the principles that are contained within it, then yes, it's the inspired word of God, but is it going to do me any good if I don't obey it? Is it going to do me any good if I don't believe it? Don't go tell the lie that Doug said God's word is not enough. God's word is enough. It is more than enough. It is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This book is amazing. This book will change our lives if we will apply the principles within it. Do you agree with that? So, through this process, I go to a chiropractor. And I was going to get him to do a little bit more of what this muscle skeletal therapist was doing. And he said, Doug, there's a new law in Maryland. I can't do anything until you go and get x-rays. So I went and got x-rays, and I came back, and you know, the muscle therapist was going, Go to the chiropractor, and he's going, Yeah, how about some good news here? Tell me what's going on. He said, well, he said, you got a broken vertebrae, you got calcium deposits, you've got disc degeneration, and you've got arthritis. I said, okay. And he looked at me, much to my stunned amazement. And he said, your back's not your problem. And I thought he was going to give me the same spiel as the muscle therapist did. And here's what he said. He said, the problem is the flow of blood has been cut off from your back. And I'm laying on one of those tables that have a hole, you know what I'm talking about? It's got a hole where I'm laying face down and I'm looking down at the floor. And tears begin to drop down onto the floor as I realized the message that God wanted me to get. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that brings healing. It's the blood of Jesus that will deliver you from the pain of past sin. It's the blood of Jesus that will wash you whiter than snow and give you a brand new start. It's the blood of Jesus. It's not religion. It's us being willing to humble ourselves and come to Jesus and say, Lord, I need you. I need you. If you've got pain in your body and you're treating it with an aspirin or an ibuprofen or an Excedrin, that pain will subside and it's going to come back and you'll have to take another handful and it'll go away and it'll come back and you'll have to take another handful and it'll go away and it'll come back. Because if there's something that's going on that's causing a repeated headache, if there's something that's going on that's causing repeated pain in your body over and over and over again, God wants to deal with it. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Makahira is the Greek word, and it means a knife used for cutting up flesh. That's a descriptor of a physician's scalpel. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Listen, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. This is talking about the word of God will shed light on areas of darkness that you've got stuff inside that God wants to cut out. He wants to cut it out. He wants to make you aware that it's there so that you can deal with it. Man, he loves you. He really, really loves you. Do you know that? Do you? Does he know that you love him? I'm not talking about just showing up to church on Sunday morning. I'm talking about, do you love him? Do you love him? Do you love him so passionately that you're telling others about him? Do you love him so fervently that you're going up to friends and saying, I'm concerned about something I've been praying about for you? Do you love Jesus enough and love your friends enough to have those hard conversations? Do you know what matters a whole lot to Jesus? Life change. That matters so much to him that we would examine ourselves, dig into God's word and say, Lord, how can I love you more today than I did yesterday? How can I love you more tomorrow than I did today? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.